Bonjour and welcome to Exiled Eagles. My name's Rob Seltzer, and much like Palace appointing a manager, we should have done this ages ago, but just haven't. Joining me today, Dale Courty, down in lockdown Sydney. How are you, mate?
I'm good, thank you, buddy. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Well, Marky Werner in lockdown Brisbane. How are you, mate?
we're a pinch over 24 hours into a 72-hour lockdown. I've got a few things in place to get through it, obviously, but to be perfectly honest, Rob, I'm in bits up here. Queensland lost State of Origin on Sunday night, and evidently England have won a knockout game at a major tournament against the motherland, Germany. Absolutely in pieces, mate.
They did, mate, but we are going to be one of the few podcasts to not bother talking about that. And stop the world, I want to get off. The only person not in lockdown, Ned in Victoria. How the bloody hell has this happened?
Yeah, I don't know. It's quite exciting. You know, I don't take sort of delight in laughing at everyone else for being in lockdown, but it's quite refreshing when it's literally everyone else in the country except us and Tassie, but Tassie don't really count. So sorry, Jordo. But yeah, I think today you had Alice Springs in Adelaide jump in the basket as well. So pretty much the only mainland capital not sitting in lockdown is spectacularly us. But don't stress, I'm sure we'll be back there within a week. So it's all good.
We can only hope, mate. We can only hope. Otherwise, I'm pretty sure I'll be convinced the world is flat. All right, fellas, I suppose there's only one place to start, and that is what has gone on the past, 40-odd days since Roy Hodgson took charge of his last game at Palace. So
not a lot.
No, not a lot, mate. Not a lot. So Dale jumping in there, let's go to you. I mean, we all know the process has been, very public with how it's gone. I have my thoughts on it, but I mean, How do you feel about how we've gone about it? Now, we had the four main candidates were Dyche, Cooper, Lampard and Ishmael at the start. Then none of us were particularly excited about any of them. Then obviously a couple of other names threw up, Nuno, Favre. So how do you think it's gone? Why do you think that's happened? Why do you think it's taken that long? What go on, Dale. Help us out here, mate.
Well, first thing I want to say is, I said in one of the WhatsApp groups bloody months ago that we knew Roy wasn't staying and we were safe. Should have just got rid, got a manager, whoever that manager was, give them last six games, whatever the season, give them a summer, give them a transfer window, give them pre-season, and it would be nice, right? That would be nice. Few people questioned, you know, that's not how it's done, it's football, but you know, that's how Brighton did it with Potter. It worked all right for them, you know. Whilst we probably weren't overly thrilled by any of the original four names, if we'd woken up one morning and it was Sean Dyche, the new manager of Crystal Palace, and it was 30 days ago, we'd have gone, all right, cool, Dyche, we know what we're getting. It isn't going to be too dissimilar to Hodgson, but steady Eddie, in he comes, get new contracts signed for players who need new contracts, and away we go. To me personally, the fact that Nuno suddenly became available just shows a complete change in thinking, because if you're looking at Lampard, Dyche, etc., you're thinking one way. To suddenly go for Nuno and then have him reject and then go for Favre, who was available back then. So was he on the radar? Was he not? Who knows? We don't know what goes on. We don't know the details, but it smacks of a policy that is just not, or a ideology that isn't quite 100% there at the moment. Because you're just going back and forth. Right? And the reality is we are now 3 days away from players reporting back for testing, as Dom Fifield said on FYP. And there are literally going to be 12 first team players. I think in that 12, he included Benteke, who probably won't be there, and Eze, who's on one leg. So that's that 10. So, you know, read into that what you will.
Yeah, that wasn't particularly good listening to that. I agree with a lot of things you said there, and I'll come back to a couple of them in a moment. What about you, Ned? I mean, how have you seen this process? Do you agree with Dale that Nuno's kind of thrown something in the spanner in the works? Do you think if he hadn't come available, we'd have probably had one of the other four? What do you think?
Who knows? Like, it's, you know, one of those ones where you sort of sit there and you go, well, yes, it'd be nice to have a manager. I don't necessarily agree with Dale in terms of saying, you know, well, we could have got him in at the in last year. We're looking at ourselves right now in prime pick up a manager time, and it's taken us a month and a half. If you reckon we were going to be able to get all that sort of stuff done during the season while concentrating on football matters as well, I think we've shown that probably wasn't going to be the case. So yeah, I think that it's just, you know, it's just got to a point where it's like, all right, just, you know, appoint someone, anyone, whoever it is, whatever, we'll get around it and we'll deal with it. I mean, I guess the saving grace is you're looking around at Everton, you're looking around at Tottenham, who seem to be going through exactly the same thing. You know, everyone's sort of looking for that manager that is, you know, the perfect manager for them and everything's going to be fantastic, when realistically you can't always have that. So, I mean, get in whoever it is and we'll just look forward to Sam Allardyce in January.
Just quickly to interrupt, looking at Twitter.
Oh, go on. I'm interested.
Webster has come up out and said,
yeah, my boy,
15 minutes ago, Patrick Vieira has gone to France to sort out his work permit today. Shouldn't it be an issue at all? Shouldn't be, because he's already got a work permit to work for ICV. But anyway, not sure how Father talks went, but I'm 99% sure it's over with him now. And in his next tweet, he's just said, Father must be one stubborn bastard. Even that, or the Yanks are a pair of tight wankers. Maybe both, who knows? Gutted we couldn't nail him down. Vieira, it is. Let's get behind him.
I agree with the final statement that, and we'll come to, we'll probably address that in a moment. But whoever the manager is, we've got to get behind. I want to just pick up on something Ned said there before.
Even if it's Roy?
Oh, fuck no. Jesus. but yeah, when you say that, about when, how we couldn't get this done with football going on, other football matters, that's why we have a director of football. That's why, I mean, okay, no one knew we were officially safe in February, but when we knew, when there were six games to go, we were pretty much safe. That's when the Americans, Parrish, Dougie could have got together and said, right, let's start thinking about the manager. And Roy, you just finish it off if you want to. So we could have had this all done. So I disagree with you there.
But at the same time, at that stage, you're sitting there going, so Nuno, who was basically over the line, has still got a job. Sean Dyche, who was the favourite, has still got a job. They're not going to be talking at that stage. So if you're looking for a manager who is currently employed, and you're, because I think if you start looking for a manager at that point, at the end of the season, even a manager that's employed, you can potentially look at compensation, you can look at payments and go, you know, let's get the right person in. If you're taking a manager mid-season, you are taking whoever is available here, there, now, and that's it. There's no possibility to do your due diligence and actually go out and have a look for the best manager for your football club. Because if that best manager is employed during the season, they're just not going to talk to you.
Not necessarily. Look at when we got Pardew. Pardew was third with Newcastle and we got him mid-season when we got rid of Warnock. So the Nuno thing, I 100% agree.
That was when we got rid of Warnock. We didn't have a manager at the time. When you haven't got a manager, yeah, you escalate things. So unless we were going to sack Roy, in which case, who's coming to a club that's sacking a bloke that's retiring at the end of the year? No one's coming to that. That's, it's a really bad message.
We could have had it all set up for him to walk in a week after the season finished, saying, look, this is all done, ready to rock and roll. Finish the season at Burnley. You start a week after. because so I agree with you with the Nuno thing though, and I'll come to that in just a second. But I agree with you there. Like, we'd had no idea he was going to be out of a job. I wouldn't have thought. But before I have a do that, let's go to Mark. What do you think about everything?
Yeah, it's all a bit of a shambles, isn't it? Up to this point, with what's happened, I agree with Dale. In a perfect world, yeah, you know, sort of six, maybe eight rounds to go, get the new guy in, and then you don't have any of that uncertainty through the trade window. You've got your manager, got him in your ear, everyone's talking, you're sorting out some signings and go from there. Then fast forward to, you know, different name popping up every sort of week or other week with us with no real rhyme or reason. I didn't feel, you know, it was sort of Dyche and then Howe for a bit, and then it was sort of out of left field Nuno, which was, you know, all gone to bits when some T's and C's were more properly looked at. And now this Favre bloke or whatever, nothing's getting signed, nothing's getting over the line, and we're just looking more muggy at every turn, unfortunately, and still managerless at this point. So it's not great. Nothing great for club. We're not the only ones, you know, say Spurs and or Everton are having similar problems. But, yeah, not a lot to take to the bank or lean on at this stage. So look, Fitzpatrick, yeah, or whoever it is, have to get behind him and get some things moving soon because clock's ticking and getting louder.
I will just add there, if it does end up being Patrick Vieira, it's far from the worst signing in that you could possibly come up with. You know, we're also sitting there going, oh, you know, we've had all these and we're settling for Patrick Vieira. No, sure, he's a guy that sort of has come through, had a bit of that education at Man City and then sort of gone through the New York City thing. He did okay at Nice, then had a bit of a poor finish, but, you know, you're not sort of sitting there, like, it's not like we've sort of gone, right, we're settling, you know, we've decided that, you know, season starts in 2 days, we've popped off the street and just, you know, first person who's wandered out of Sainsbury's. We've just gone, right, you're the new manager, congratulations. Quick sign up 9 players and get ourselves set for the season.
I'd have to agree with you there, Ned, in terms of, you know, if we, let's say, for example, the new manager was Doogie Freeman, all right? Great club, stalwart, despite pissing off to Bolton, whatever, right? Good club man, yeah? But it's Doogie Freeman. Who really, of any note, wants to come and play for Doogie Freeman? And I don't mean that in a horrible way. This is Patrick Vieira, leader of the Invincibles, World Cup winner of France, you know, European Cup. Did he win the European Cup with France? Maybe, I can't remember.
Sure, we'll give it to him.
Yeah, whatever. It's a trophy. As you said, Man City set up. Obviously, been around the Arsenal set up. Was on TV last night with Arsene Wenger, giving him big props. Being around the MLS, and I'm not saying you go to the MLS to get players, like, but the fact of the matter is, this is a known guy. This is a known commodity, right? And the reality is, because let's be honest as well, before Nuno did Wolves, none of us knew who Nuno was.
Yep.
Right? So if you had said to me, despite what I've already said, if you had said your choices are Lucien Favre, Patrick Vieira, or Nuno, the reality is you only go with Nuno because he's been in the Prem. You go with Favre because of what he did at Borussia Dortmund in terms of the players he brought through towards the end. But Vieira is probably the one who everyone would go, oh yeah, I know him. They're the ones people know, right? So anyway.
And we'll talk more about that. I'll get everyone else's opinion on, so that's yours on Vieira. I'll get what everyone else thinks about Vieira in a sec. It does look like it's going to be him as we speak. But for me, I feel the club, they haven't covered themselves in glory. Don't get me wrong. But I do feel that we've been played, like Nuno played us completely. I don't think he was ever particularly that interested in the Palace job. I think we all know his agent. His agent's one of the best / worst in the game. And I think he played us perfectly to get his frame in the Everton and Spurs jobs, which he was both in the frame for, and now he's off to Fenerbahce. But at the end of the day, it looked like it was all signed, sealed, delivered. Parrish had done that, had got his man, and then the goalpost moved. So I think what happened is that initial four, we had a criteria. I think Dyche was always number one, and we were never going to get Dyche in with six games to go. I would love to have had that hindsight 2020 thing that Dale and Mark have spoken about. I would love to have had that. Bring him in, finish the season off with them, and then kind of they're in situ away we go. I think Dyche was probably number one. You're never going to get him out of Burnley before the end of the season. Then you had Lampard, Cooper and Ishmael. Then, so we're probably going down the lines of those guys. Then Nuno came available, and all of a sudden, thinking's changed. All these other managers, like Favre, apparently approached us. All these guys are now available now. Maybe we should stop and rather than going down the Dyche route, we look at something else, someone else. If you listen back to other pods that we've done, I've said that I don't want any of them. I'd hope there's someone else out there. It's not my job to know all the other managers that are available, but we should have a scouting department that does know that. And it appears eventually we did start getting linked with your Favres and, you know, your Fonsecas and all those guys. Even I think Gracia was also mentioned at one point, the ex-Watford guy. But I think it threw something like a curveball at them, and so they stopped and thought about it. And then again, Parrish went for Favre. It was all signed. If you listen to the 5-year plan podcast, I think I recommend everyone does, with Don Firefield, when they all reporting it was going to be done with Favre, it was all signed. Parrish had got his man again. And then he woke up the next day and said, I don't want to do it. There is nothing Parrish can do about that. I mean, if it is down to transfer funds or whatever, then okay. But we would, as Dale said, we will never know. And I find it very strange that if he's gone 2 weeks, he's been in contact, they've been speaking for a while, that he's all happy. He said, yeah, I'm going to agree to this. And then he wakes up the next day saying, no, actually, there's not enough transfer funds. I find that really fucking strange. But so, yes, he's not. Parrish is certainly not blameless, Christ no. But I think that he's done all he can here, because at the end of the day, he's a fan as well that wants the best for the club. That yes, he's got more than a vested interest being a chairman and having a stake in it, but he's also a fan. Excuse me. So Vieira, we've heard Dale's thoughts. It looks like it is going to be him.
It's not. You haven't had my thoughts.
Okay.
Never had my full thoughts.
Apologies. Please accept my.
Let someone else go first. I'll come in later.
Okay. Well, that's a little. There's a teaser for everyone to make sure you don't turn off early to get Dale's full thoughts on Patrick Vieira. So let's go.
Criticism.
Let's go to Marky Mark. Patrick Vieira.
Yeah, good pedigree. As Dale said, in footballing worlds, both in the Premier League and obviously France and around Europe, definitely a known commodity and has runs on the board. And, you know, if he's, you know, around just quality systems like his Arsenal, obviously, and then going through, I don't know what he did at City, whether he got his badges through there or something. And I didn't really follow his managerial career at Nice or in the MLS, but someone like that just brings stuff to the table we don't have a hell of a lot at Selhurst Park. You know, it's a massive name, so you know, I'm not down in the mouth about it. I thought it's a bit odd. I didn't think he'd be sort of in the running or whatnot, but you know, put it this way, I would rather him than Lampard. There you go.
Me too, to be honest with you. Go on, Ned.
Look, I think I sort of covered off on most of it before. I think, yeah, it's just one of those ones where you sort of go, if it's him, you know, you're talking about someone. I think the Lampard comparison's really good. You know, it's that sort of household name as a player. Are they that good as a coach? Well, we'll find out. Yeah, I know there's sort of, you know, he sort of had a few issues at the back end of Nice, but when he first turned up there, he stabilised them quite well and sort of did that reasonably well there. You know he's going to be able to draw in signings. So even if he is a terrible manager, worst case scenario, at least he should be able to, in this sort of, you know, next month or so, attract enough people to the club that, you know, we're going to be able to build a half decent squad. So I think that's probably at the moment I mean, like you said, Rob, in terms of, you know, if you get a Dougie Friedman or someone in, we are at that point where you need the name to draw the players in to build the squad. And even if that name doesn't end up staying, the players that are signed on 3-4 year contracts will. And they're the ones that are really going to sort of push us forward. So, I mean, I hope he's a raging success, obviously, as I'm sure we all do. So, I mean, that's all there is from now. If he's not, well, we'll find that out down the track. But I don't see any reason not to be positive about it, because Patrick Vieira as a manager is better than players turning up to pre-season with no one there. So, and I mean that with the greatest of respect to Patrick Vieira.
Effigy of Roy Hodgson on a stick.
Who obviously will be listening to this intently. And probably that's why he hasn't signed the contract officially yet. He's waiting for our verdict. But yeah, look, Patrick, we would like you to sign, and we welcome you to the club. We'd welcome you to the club. So you've got the approval from me, at least, from the Exiled Eagles, until Rob comes and shits all over it, just purely not with anything to do with you, just so he can disagree with me.
Hold on. You wait a second. Just wait. Go on, Dale. Let's hear the rest of it.
Just to clarify, 1998 World Cup, 2000 European Championships, 2001 Confederations Cup. Just going to say, aside from the stuff we've said about the City links, the Arsenal links, etc. Yeah, he went to Nice. He replaced Lucien Favre at Nice and took him to a better finish when he had the rug pretty much pulled underneath him when he started there. So that's positive. The obvious comparison that I'm sure a lot of people out there are going to be making is Frank de Boer. I don't know what other people think. I was in a casino in Vanuatu when we played Burnley under Frank de Boer, and we all know it. If Scott Dann had scored, de Boer wasn't getting sacked, right? I don't think he was going to get sacked. So we don't know how the ball is going to turn out. I don't want people to be running around saying, oh, we did this with Frank de Boer, and oh, God, it didn't work. We've got to give him a go now. There are no firefighting managers out there who will come to us. There is no Pulis, there is no Allardyce, etc. They won't come to us. We also know that if he goes, let's say he lasts six games, whatever, Lucien Favre isn't coming to us, and we'll probably right back to square number one. So we've got to, as a club, as a fan base, get behind him. There will be people out there also saying, oh, he played for Arsenal and he scored a goal against us. I don't want that shit. Whatever. Don't be a dick. Get behind him. And next one is, we really got to hope the club gets behind him. And you've got to hopefully see checkbooks opening. If it's true and the Yanks were in France to talk to Favre, they've got to be, for being prepared to open their checkbook, then they've got to be prepared to do that for Vieira as well. Simple as.
100% agree. But to be honest with you, I don't know enough about Patrick Vieira as a manager to be able to fit, to be honest with you, to be able to sit here and comment whether it'll be good or bad. Who knows? All right. I've read the same stuff as Dale's read about when he was at Nice. I know that he's at, you know, New York City. I don't know. Like, the biggest point for me is he's Patrick Vieira. I think that name will have a pull in the transfer market. And I think, as now Ned very well pointed out very well, is that even if he lasts six months, a year, he'll be able to bring in players. Then if he then goes, other managers will be like, shit, yeah, that's a squad. Because at the moment, other managers are looking at it thinking, fuck no, that's no squad. So it's kind of turning that around. So I'm agreeing with everything you both said, that look, who cares? If it's going to be him, fantastic. Let's get him in. Let's get behind him. And
you better not keep Sacco.
You better keep Sacco. If he keeps Sacco.
If he keeps Sacco, he's lost me.
If he keeps Sacco, he automatically becomes one of the top three managers I've ever had.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you.
Yeah. First point of business. Mama, come in. We need to talk.
Yeah, exactly. We've got Mama, I believe you're leaving. Let's have a wee chat. It's a wee chat. pay rise, you say, no problem, buddy, here it is. Yeah.
Where's my rubber stamp?
Is it is it possible for Mamadou Sakho to earn any more money than he was earning?
And do fuck all
doing less?
I mean, he's a Rolls Royce, mate. Don't worry about it. He can do what he wants. All right. So that's the manager situation sorted. The Exiles Eagles are all behind Patrick Vieira. Should it be Patrick Vieira? If it's not Patrick Vieira, I literally have no idea where we're going.
No, there is no plan B.
Holy shit.
That I can.
Our international listeners will not get that at all.
Oh, Alan Stajic. What is it? Is it Stajic?
Stajic. He's available.
Get him in. Matty Simon. That's what I say.
Yeah, 100%.
Favorite for the Aussie chat.
Yes. All right. Well, look, that's manager done. And it was everything was rosy in the Palace Garden about a month ago when one hell of a documentary came out. Now, this is a question I'm going to put to all of you. And you all had to individually ask, what has been scarier, the manager situation or James Howland on that documentary?
Howland.
Definitely Howland.
Holy shit. I mean, that boy get himself an agent because, I mean, he got some serious camera time. But
he meant business.
He sort of did. And I remember that. I remember that season so well. I remember being in the pub for the Watford game. That was a Saturday morning kickoff. I believe Shawnee Robb boozed all day and got himself a drunk tattoo that day, that morning after the 2-2 draw. Weekly would be on, whenever we'd be on, someone would be so drunk in the pub and it'll be a different person every week that wouldn't remember the game. I believe Dale did it at least twice. I did it for the Middlesbrough game when Murray scored the hat-trick. Honestly, it was just a great season. I remember that so well. And I thought that it was done really well, as the actual documentary was done really well. I really enjoyed it. I'm assuming we've all seen it here. If you haven't, well, tough shit. You have to try and make up you have. So, Ned, what do you think about it? Do you remember the season well? What's your thoughts on When Eagles Fly?
Yeah, it was a great watch. Obviously, so came out over here on the Friday. And so my girlfriend said she was coming over on the Friday night, and I said, "Well, I got plans for you." And we sat down and we watched five hours of the Palace documentary,
which put a ring on it,
which she thoroughly enjoyed, to the point where she managed to get through at least 3.5 episodes before falling asleep. So that was a definite positive. I think it was a really good watch. I think there was a lot of sort of good insights to sort of come out of that. I think in particular, just there seemed to be a very common theme of people who, and obviously, you know, it was put on through rose-tinted glasses because it was obviously made by the club. But there was a lot of sort of people with a very similar theme of, you know, they came to the club and they wanted to stay at the club and they enjoyed their time there, which you don't always sort of see. And obviously, they've handpicked who's speaking and all that sort of stuff. But it was good to get that insight. Looking at our current managerial situation, based on all of Steve Parrish's comments about how basically all of his deals were done that saved the club, every single one of them seemed to be, yeah, we were just chatting in the car park and had a, you know, there was a handshake here and a handshake there. I'm starting to look at that and think perhaps that's why none of the managers have signed for us yet, because he keeps just doing a handshake deal in the car park rather than getting to sign something on a bit of paper. But, you know, just obviously a great group of people, unfortunately, that probably come together. It was just, good to sort of, you know, go back and relive it.
Oh, I just remember that playoff final as well, Dale, when you were off your face. He's good. You're jumping on the table, swinging the shirt around. The bouncer
comes in the roof. Yeah.
And then the bouncer's like, get down. And so you got down. And then 0.18 of a second later, you're back on the table. Bang. Yeah.
We were at the Dickens down here. And I was standing on a table counting people, and we'd lost count. Sort of, you know, the pub was, there was 12 Watford fans and probably 150 Palace. But I just remember we walked in, and so we'd gone for dinner before, and one of the guys had sort of had happened to the day before had gone to his local Indian and then had a red and blue balloon archway. So we just basically said, right, I'm having that. And so we popped that over the doorway to the pub, brought it in. So we went up to try and hang the sort of flag up. And, you know, we're trying to tie it around the various lights in the pub. And Ivo, who was the owner at the time, was this crazy sort of Eastern European bloke, just walks into the back room and just comes out with a hammer and nails and just hands it to us and goes, here you go, boys. You'll get the flag up. We're sitting, oh, you don't mind us just banging holes in the wall of your pub? And he goes, that's your night, boys. You do what you want. and that was pretty much how the night went. So there was very much no rules, and it was fantastic. So I think that was, you know, he's not running that pub anymore, but we're still there, and I think that's what sort of locked Melbourne down into that pub for forever.
What about you, Dale? What do you think? Do you remember the night? Do you remember the season? What do you think of the documentary?
I remember going to work 2 days later and having a warehouse manager or an operations manager who actually went to my school, but I didn't know him. He's older than me. Turn around and say, I've got a video from someone in England of a pub in Australia. I think you were in the middle of it, jumping up and down on the table, banging a roof. And I was like, yeah. Anyway, highlight of the season was missing Steve Parrish down the pub.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. It was brilliant. How good was that?
Transfer, in case you're wondering, transfer deadline day. Where's your chairman? In Australia, in Sydney, in a pub with a bunch of Palace fans.
We were playing Huddersfield that day, and Holloway called him.
Yeah.
While she's there, so I've got to just take this. He says Holloway, like, talking about the game that night.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Now, look, it was a great season. You go all the way back to the Sheffield Wednesday game, which almost saw us go out of business. And I said, that's the reason why I found the Palace supporters group. So I was, remember watching it thinking, I can't do this on my own. There's got to be others, and there were. Doco's great. Because I said to my wife, you know, you are removed from it over here. You are very removed from a lot of stuff. So whether it be because you just don't remember, or because as it was at the time, I was out on a lash a lot, there was things that happened that I just didn't know about. So it was great to have that. My only gripe with it, and this was picked up on by said wife, it did seem like a bit of a publicity push for Messrs. Parrish and Friedman, and was pretty well timed considering everything that's gone on with the manager search. So that's my only gripe with it. But hey, look, can't complain. It's great to see us on that global stage in terms of people. I know people who are not Palace fans who have watched it, and that can only be a good thing for our club. Simple as.
Agreed. What about you, Marky Mark?
Yeah, I watched it just recently, a couple of days off of my birthday, about a fortnight ago. So, bedded down and, watched it. And, I loved it. Thought it was great. Well done, Chris Grierson and the club to put that out. Nice little five-parter, so it didn't keep you looking for 26 episodes or anything like that. And really enjoyed it, mate. I got a bit teary in a couple of spots there. Probably the first one when, you know, the 3,000 went down and marched on the banks. That was great stuff, you know. I found that very inspiring, and just to see the conviction and voice of everyone down there, including friend of the show, James Howland.
I was going to say, were the tears about James Howland's haircut, or
that's a deserved dig.
I don't remember what he was sporting, mate, but just to see him into one and everyone else. Yeah, I thought it was great, you know, because all those boys, you know, that's a club, that's their mob, they're South London and proud, you know. Palace to me, very much an adopted club. I had absolutely no affiliation with them prior to 2004 and touchdown in England, and with a local mob, and we had Papa running around, and I thought, yeah, these went a couple of games and seemed to fit nicely. And then just watching that doco just really brought it home, man. I was just even proud to support the club, you know, just seeing the people down there and having guys like Parrish and Browett that are having very loosey-goosey chats in car parks, but ultimately saving our club, you know, from the brink, you know, literally 11th hour stuff. And I think Steve said, you know, a bit of luck that went our way, just right chats with the right people at the right time. And yeah, you know, a bit of a Cinderella story. And then, you know, you go down and the Brighton thing and Pugay and Wilf and it all just cascaded beautifully into, promotion against Watford, which was a big night here. Obviously, we're in the championship then, so we're only getting, you know, two, maybe three games a season on Fox here. But yeah, we had probably the biggest numbers in Brisbane for a game that I had witnessed, and got the chocolates, and then, you know, now we're on every week, which is great because we've stayed there. But so that, and I just want to touch on Jedi as well when he made an appearance in the doco as well, and being
sign him up as manager now.
Yeah,
well, could do worse. Throw him the keys till Christmas. And when, you know, he made an appearance and obviously, I was so happy for a period there where he was captain of, you know, my club and country, and just put the club on his shoulders and said, fucking he's with me, you know. And
mate, I'll tell you what else was great about it, actually. You just reminded me, Mark. Yeah, he has knack. The Palace fans know about Jednak, right? He might not be in our best 11 players ever, but we know what he was to the club, right? And there are other players, like Damien Delaney. He was much vilified by some of us, but we knew what he meant to the club. Wilf the same, Yannick the same, Johnny Williams, Spironi. The one for me was Craig Ramage. I couldn't believe that here was this guy who basically was around for not very long, but he was almost the heart and soul of that team. He brought a lot of people together. He's, as you said, he's still friends of a lot of them now. He thinks it's one of the best setups he's ever been a part of. That says something, right? Because if you ask people to name players from that squad, Ramage would not be one of the first names, but after watching that documentary, you think, Jesus, he was huge for that squad of players.
Yeah, he was at the coalface, mate, and doing the hard yards. So
really was.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, I was going to say, you know, when Jedi sort of stood up, he just asked a lot of a few guys, and a lot went with him. You know, your Damos, your Ledleys, Wardy, obviously. It was great. It was inspiring stuff, and I really loved it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, I think surely we've got to try and find a spot for Jedi back at the club at some point. I mean, that man, he's the type of bloke you run through a brick wall for.
Yeah.
You know. But yeah, I think everyone now that it was brilliant. As Dale said, I've seen a lot of people on the world's best place Twitter that aren't Palace fans saying they've watched it and they really enjoyed it and it was a really good watch. And you know, they've got an affinity for Palace. It was just a perfect storm, I think it was. You had players like your Damos that were giving it up. Yannick was kind of going nowhere. And, you know, as Dal said, Peter Ramage, and he'd just been released from QPR because he knew he wasn't going to play in the Premier League. And then when we went up, he was like, I knew I wasn't going to play in the Premier League. But that's just, he knew his level and he didn't care. He just wanted to be part of that. It was just incredible. Absolutely incredible. And yes, it was a bit of a puff piece for Parrish and Dougie, but
100%.
Who cares? I mean, if you're Parrish, you're paying the money to get it done. You might as well make it a puff piece about yourself.
Exactly.
And a Dougie thing, I think they tried to address that so the fact that the fans wouldn't hate him. The ones that do hate him don't hate him as much anymore. But yeah, really well done to the club, and I can't wait for part two. Because I think I was listening to somewhere said they've interviewed a few other players. I think they've interviewed Owen Garvin and a couple of others. So there will be some more stuff coming out about that, which is great. All right, now let's go back in time. So we're going to go back in time. So at the start of last season, we all made our predictions about where we'd finish, top goal scorer, top assist, all that type of stuff. Who would be the worst player of the season? Which we will award the worst player of the season and the worst miss of the season at the end of this. Now we're going to see how right I was. So I'm going to hand this bit over to Ned, who's got all the audio there. Mate, take us through it all.
All right. So I've gone back and sort of grabbed a few fun clips from our opening pot of the season. Obviously, so as Rob said, we had a look at, you know, the where we thought we'd finish, who we thought the top goal scorer would be, who'd get the most assists, who we thought was going to be the most disappointing, our bolter of the season. So I've come up with a little bit of a scorecard. I've thrown out some bonus points here. I think Dale might have just remembered a couple of things that he said, but yeah, that's okay. If he hasn't remembered that, that's fine. We're all about to
Let's not play my worst player of the season, biggest disappointment. I think we will
play that, Dale. I think we'll play. If you see on my screen at the moment, there's a few of these clips. You can see the length of them. Now, if we scroll down to the one where we discuss Dale's worst player of the season, I think you'll find that might be the longest.
But I'm pretty certain I preface it with a reason why. And
well, I might have cut that bit, Dale.
I mean,
we've only got so long on the pod, so we can't replay the whole thing. So
if you say who I think you're going to say,
I'll tell you what. We'll get to it in a little bit. But what we do is we're going to start off with the positions. Our club position, and we'll start off, you know, with Dale.
Let's preface it. So where did we finish, Ned? Where did we finish this season?
We finished in 14th.
Fantastic. So
we will start with Dale's prediction of where he thought we were going to finish, which sounds very, very promising at the start and goes downhill quickly. Hang on.
Where did we finish last season? 14th, wasn't it?
Comfortable
14th. He's going with 12th.
Okay.
So Dale's going with 12th. Not horrendous. So
we'll
let you have that. We'll go just duck across to my predictions now. So these were mine.
I'm going to take the approach that you and Dale took last year of if you aim low and have no expectations, then you can only sort of be, build upon those. So I'm going to, no, I won't say 20th. I'm going to go 15th.
15th, one off. Quite happy with that.
Getting closer.
Marky Mark.
Compliance with my glass half full. I'm going for 9th on goal difference.
Holy shit.
9th on goal difference for Mark. So he's missed not only the 9th part, but I'm pretty sure our goal difference was just about the worst in the league.
I actually thought I said 8th, so probably 8th.
No, also, I'm here. You're a bit closer. And finally, we'll finish up with Rob.
Well, all the bookies have got us as a fourth favourites for relegation, so they've got us all at 17th at the moment, lads. So you're above there. I'm going to go round about the same again. So I'll go 13th. We'll go up a place. We'll play a little bit more attacking football. We'll score more than 31 goals.
So Rob have just one off there as well, which is very, very good. And threw in the little caveat of and we'll score more than 31 goals. We score 41 goals. So I've thrown Rob a little bonus point. Extra nugget of information. Just for fun, Dale read out a little bit of, this isn't actually having a go at Dale, this one, from The Athletic, which he referred to as The Atlantic, but we'll move on from that. but this is where they thought we were.
Surveyed all of their journalists about where teams are going to finish in the league. And he actually had us like in 18th.
So congratulations. We're all better than all of those Athletic, Atlantic, whoever they are, journalists.
Why said Athletic? Why said Athletic?
You did. I cut out the bit. There was a solid 2 minutes of you calling it The Atlantic beforehand.
Thanks, mate.
I left out. I just sort of mentioned it afterwards. So just going through those. So in terms of the point scoring, if you get it spot on, you get 4 points because there's four of us. If you're sort of pretty close, we go to 3, then 2, then 1. With some of the other ones, if you're way off the mark, I've just given some other scores. But to start off with, Rob and I, 3 points apiece for being one off. Dale, 2 points. Mark, 1 point for being a fair way off. But I've thrown Rob a bonus point as well because he got that little extra bit of information about the goals. So Rob currently in the lead after positions, Mark. And we'll move on to top scorers. Now, there's a bit of waffle in some of these.
I said that for sure.
I think it's important to get this waffle in because otherise, how are we supposed to laugh at ourselves? Anyone want to volunteer to go first?
Mark. I said Batshuayi. I know.
Mark, fantastic. All right, go Mark, on. You can. Here we go. First up.
Initially, and again, taking the optimistic approach, initially I had Connor Wickham.
Holy shit, you are awful. Nice, Connor Wickham, a top goal scorer. My God.
Those two glass legs of his are finally going to harden up. He's going to bang a few in this season for us. And then after reading a little blurb, I think from back of the nest, possibly on Insta, I've changed my answer to Michy Batshuayi. No. Can we include offside goals?
Actually, hang on, sorry. There's a little bit more information on this one.
With 12 goals.
12 goals you've gone with Michy Batshuayi. So that was
it. Did you get one or two?
He got two, I believe.
Two.
Yeah. Okay. So he ended up he ended up with
just 10 shy.
Yeah, so pretty good effort. I'll go next.
Oh man.
Yeah, it's a tough one because if Michy Batshuayi is confirmed, then definitely him. I'd like to keep my predictions alive longer than the end of the transfer window. I'm happy to be proven horrifically wrong, but I at least want to still be in with a shout come October. So I am going to say, I can't say Wolf with that either because he might be gone too. Yeah. Running out of options here. Bugger it. I'm going to be stupid and say Benteke.
Oh,
Benteke. Not too disappointed with that one. So we'll move on to Dale. Oh, hang on. Sorry. I don't want to play all of our predictions at the same time over each other. I imagine that'd be horrible.
Yeah.
No, you've got nine.
So I've gone Benteke the last two seasons. When I text you guys on Sunday, I said whoever we buy stroke comes in, because I believed there would be somebody, whether it be Batshuayi or anyone else. So I'm going to stick with that. Whoever comes in. So at the moment it's Batshuayi, but if it's not Batshuayi and it ends up being, I don't know, Osman Eduardo, whatever his name is from Celtic, then it'll be him. It'll be whoever we bring in to be that main striker.
No.
So John Philippe Mateta.
Mateta counts. He scored less goals than Batshuayi. So I will happily give you a choice, Dale, as to whether you would prefer to take Batshuayi or Mateta.
Can I take Benteke in the past two seasons when I said him?
No, anyway. You cannot. Rob, let's see where Rob's gone.
That's right, for sure.
So my answer, it was gonna be Wilf. I was gonna say Wilf.
Now well, 3 points.
We're actually gonna get a striker this summer. I thought we're gonna get midfielders and attacking players, and then look to buy a striker next season. But it looks like a striker is top of the list. So I'm going to go with the exact same answers, Dale. It's probably, it looks like it's going to be Batshuayi if you read what he said in the press as well. Is it like he's signing a 1 year contract extension with Chelsea and then coming to Palace? And Batshuayi said that's pretty much what's happening. So I'll say Batshuayi. I'll go out on a limb. I'm going to say it's Batshuayi. I'll say it there.
All right. Well, that's none out of all of them for you guys, and that's points for me. So that's fantastic. I was nice. I gave myself 3 points because it wasn't spot on, and I've given you all two because you picked players who actually scored a goal. So that was good. Mark, despite nearly going with Connor Wickham,
Connor Wickham,
who finished as our joint eighth top goal scorer with zero goals. He was joint with me, Rob, Dale, Mark, and about 7 billion of the rest of the world. So,
very good.
That's your best one. Well, so done. That was good. Tired now. Well done.
We're now going to move on to assists. So, for those playing at home, our top assist getter was Eberechi Eze with six, and I think Andros Townsend had five, and then it sort of dropped off to a few that had three and two. So, we'll start with me for this one.
Well, a player who I know is definitely going to be at the club, I'll go with Ezzy.
Bang. Cool. Hang on.
Who?
Hang on. He's got it.
Ezzy. I said his name wrong. Ezzy from the Atlantic. But we hadn't seen him before, so it's fine. All right.
Ezzy from the Atlantic. Well said, Mark.
Yeah.
With James Howland's haircut.
But, you know, seeing as you decided to pick on me, Dale, I thought maybe we'll cut to you next. Now, just to clarify, you've actually got two entries in the assist section here. So we'll hear your first entry and we'll cut back to the second one a little bit later.
I'm going to go with... it's an excellent question, isn't it?
I could have sworn you were about to say Max Meyer then, and then reach the fact that he's only going to play 10 minutes every week.
No, I am going to... Oh, God. I was going to go James McArthur. And then I was thinking...
Fuck, that's a long answer.
No, do you know what? I think Luka's going to come good. And I thought, well, do you know what? Patrick Van Aanholt gets forward.
You didn't.
And then I thought, but do you know what? We've got Wilf.
Anyhow.
And I'm going to go with...
Connor Wickham.
Wilf. Wilf.
But you hate Wilf.
For Jaha.
I do. If he leaves, I'm going to be so fucking angry.
So just to throw that last bit in. So initially, Dale ended up with Wilf, who got the two assists. So not bad.
Greedy. Greedy.
Three assists.
But we'll, have, it more.
But we'll hear from Dale later when he changes his mind again. So we'll jump to Mark now on the assists.
No. Look, he's finally going to get the minutes he deserves. And for the season will be Max Meyer with nine.
Yeah! Das ist sehr gut, Herr Meyer.
So, yes, at this stage, Mark, your predictions could be going better.
Following, mate, yeah. Lucky to be getting any points off you at this stage.
Yep, so that's Mark's little effort, and so we will now move to Rob.
I was all about Wilf, and then Dale mentioned PVA, and I've just got a funny feeling, you know. I've got a funny feeling, but then I think I'm just going to go Ezzy. So let's go Ezzy.
Oh God!
I'm just watching a roller coaster of emotions on Rob's face there as he sort of sits there and he hears himself go, you know, Wilf will know, and then PVA, oh God, no. And then just somehow out of nowhere, like Patrick Vieira pops up with Ezzy. So very, very good. Now, obviously, Dale wanted to go with Wilf.
Yeah.
Dale, however.
Can I change mine?
No.
Please.
Ned's loving this.
Please.
It's going to be only if it's to Jordan Ayew.
It's not. It's for his countryman, Jeff Schlupp.
So Dale managed to take himself off Wilf, went to Jeff Schlupp, who I think got the same amount of assists in the end. But so after the assists round, I've awarded some points here. So Rob and I, obviously, maximum 4 points because, you know, we've nailed that. Mark gets 0 points because his player didn't actually stay at the club. And I've actually awarded -1 points to Dale because he guessed 6 separate players without getting anyone in the top two. I did cut out the 5 minutes of Jordan Ayew abuse that was thrown around from everyone in that section and also in the next section. There's a lot of Jordan Ayew abuse just generally in this pod. But yeah, so -1 points for Dale there. So congratulations on that. Now, I am going to play a little game in the middle here. We'll pause it and we'll. I'm just going to offer Rob an opportunity to pick up a bonus point here. Oh. Rob. Now, Rob, you came up with an extra prediction in this, and I want you to tell me if you want to stick with this prediction or whether you want to change it. All right. And if you get it right, you can have a bonus point. If you get it wrong, you lose a bonus point. All right. This was your prediction.
I'll go out on the limb here and say Mark is coming bottom of the prediction league this season.
What are your thoughts?
I mean, Mark has had a stinker, but then Dale with negative points.
And there's also a very bad one to come.
Do you want to stick or pull away from that, Rob? If you want to pull away from it, you have to apologise to our listeners for being wrong.
No, you know what? I'm going to stick with it. That was my decision. But just like these predictions, that was my prediction. So I will stick with my prediction.
Of Mark finishing last. All right.
Mark finishing last. If it's wrong, if I'm wrong, fair bit. But like, that was my prediction and I can't change
fair
it.
Fair enough. Just all like, right.
I can't change the Jeff Schlupp.
Well, thanks straight for away.
Confidence, mate.
Straight away off the bat, we'll go to our next one, which is the most disappointing player of the season.
Before you start this.
Yep.
If I'm not mistaken, the bit you've cut out is where I say I'm only worried because I feel there's going to be lots of...
You do not know what I've cut out and what I have to say. How about we have a listen first?
You haven't said it, haven't you?
Explain yourself afterwards.
All right. You've said Ezra, haven't you?
He's gone one better than that.
Oh, no, he's gone Wilf.
He's gone one better than that.
Oh, God, it's a good name. He's part of the player season.
I'll explain my working on for that. One was Wilf. Which I know it's counterintuitive to what I just said, but
not really but surprising.
The reason being is that if he disappears off at the 11th hour on transfer deadline day, we'll all be like pretty disappointed. And
I'm not sure he's out there.
That's fair. Actually, if yep. it's because he's gone to someone like Everton, and we'll all be like, what the fuck? So we'll feel pretty let down. And the other one. Is Ezzy, and not for any other reason.
He's not gone for one, he's gone for both. Fact,
I'm really worried that everyone's expecting this 20-year-old kid to come up from the Championship and absolutely rip the Premier League a new one, and he's not going to. And I don't mean that in a horrible way. He's going to come in, he's going to do well for us, he's going to play well, but he's not going to be, he's just not going to be 20 assists, 10 goals.
Yeah,
it's not going to happen. So, and that's why I say that.
Just to confirm that, not only you didn't, you might, yeah, that last little bit was correct. But so your player that you decided was going to be most disappointing, you went with two options, and you decided to go with our top goal scorer and our top assist getter as your two most disappointing players of the season. So that's it's a bold option, Dale. It's a bold option.
But the working was correct.
Yes, and you can get. I'll tell you what. We'll give you a bonus point for the working to go with the negative two I've taken off you.
to be fair, Dale, you do deserve that because you did get out the two players that kept us up this season. You said
maybe they'll give me the two most disappointing. Anyway, so now that everyone's safe and the knowledge that they're not going to answer as poorly as Dale, we'll step across to Mark.
Close second player, or however you worded it before to put a little bit of sugar on it. My guy's going from hero to zero. Jordan Ayew.
Yep, no, I'm no issues with that one.
Thank you.
I'm up next. I'm going to, based on the fact that he showed last night that he still clearly can't cross a ball, I'm going to go back-to-back awards for Luka. Luka Milivojevic, back-to-back, was mine. Not feeling silly about that one. And finally, we got Rob.
I mean, I was going for Jordan Ayew because I had such a great season last season. I just don't think he can repeat it. And then, I'm thinking of Luke. I'm thinking of Andros again. I'm thinking of a few there, which is harsh. But I'm gonna throw in poor old Mr. Ayew as well. I think
we've got two votes for Jordan Ayew and one for Luka Milivojevic. We can save the points on those ones for later, but. If we want to, at the moment, I've just given us all 3 points apart from Dale, who has obviously got negative two for his answer. So
he got one back because
he did get one back though. So that's
what good. Was factually correct about Eze. He did not get 20 assists and 10 goals.
Yeah, no, that is true. So we will add one bonus point back in there, which will make a massive difference at the end, I'm sure. Right, so we now move on to the bolter of the season, and we'll start with Mark. So our bolter of the season.
No idea.
Who are we going
bolter,
with?
Bolter, and he made a few waves for himself last season, and then, out of lockdown, wowed us all with his bonds, Gyro.
Gyro Riedewald.
So, not a bad shout.
Yeah, gyro for Mark. Yeah, I think this is probably the easiest question of the lot. I'm 100% with Mark. The man with the greatest hair at the club, which is obviously why Mark's picked him, is going to be Gyro Riedewald. Again, so two for Gyro. Let's see if Dale's come up with anything creative.
Yeah, I think I've made my feelings on him known on the end of last season and this season, pre-season on the WhatsApp. De Boer got a lot of things wrong. He got that one incredibly right.
So bang 3 out of 3 for Gyro so far. Rob, do you remember who you went with?
No.
Sorry, Mitchell.
I'm going to make it a clean sweep for Gyro. I think he's going to, hopefully Hodgson's now being forced to not pick his favourite three all the time. And he's going to realise what a good footballer he has in Gyro. So I think he's going to make himself one of the first names on the team sheet. I'm going to throw in just one more for letdown of the season. And it's going to be Steve Parrish for not letting Roy Hodgson go. So I'm just going to throw.
Now, unfortunately, Rob, I am going to have to take a point off you there. That's because hard. Steve Parrish did let Roy Hodgson go at the end of the season. So that's an incorrect that's an incorrect prediction, I'm afraid, which is, you know.
I'll wear it.
That's
wear
how it is. Now, I've got one here that I haven't actually named. I assume I've put it here for a reason, and we'll have a listen to it, and we'll see whether it's relevant.
I will be wherever the meetup is, I'll be there.
Oh, there we go. Yes, that was a cracking bonus prediction from Rob Seltzer. I'll just replay that one. So you get a bonus point for this one, too, if you got this one right. So
I will be wherever the meetup is, I'll be there. So you can shove that up your ass.
You want
that?
Yeah, wasn't
so
he?
Bonus point. So bonus point there. So just to quickly run through the bonus points that we had at the end there. There was Rob gained one for the meetup, lost one for Mark not coming last. Dale has picked up 3 bonus points just purely out of sympathy, which takes him to a total of 9, which is his last. Marky Mark, you're 10. You obviously beat Dale quite comfortably, but I gave him the 3 sympathy points. I didn't want to bring him level with you because that would be unfair. So left him there. Rob and I had 17, but Rob lost 2 bonus points, unfortunately, which drops him down to 15, leaving me as the clear predictions winner. Thank you for coming. Definitely have not rigged that competition in any way, shape, or form.
That's a very
convenient.
Conveniently, I've got all those, and we'll move on.
Just like the bloke, like when you're doing, like when they do the draw of the FA Cup, that warms the balls, so you get
absolutely the balls have been in the oven, Rob. They've been in the oven.
Unbelievable.
And I've claimed my victory. So thank you.
I would like to reassure all Exiled Eagles listeners that there will be a stern investigation into what has gone on here.
Steward's inquiry.
There will be.
Now, the only downside of this steward's inquiry is it will involve looking at the previous audio. So we'll get our editor onto that straight away to make sure that we all have a close look at it and make sure that it's all okay. After a detailed look, I've decided it's fine.
Well, we're going to hand it over to Dale, who will be editing himself to win, I would assume, in the not-too-distant future.
I don't have time for that, mate.
No, that's very true. Christ, we've got kids. As if. All right. Any more for any? Well, look, actually, we haven't done. I mean, we can say Jordan Ayew was probably the worst player of the season. I'm happy. Luca would be a bit harsh, I'd say. PVA also honorary mention in that category.
Definitely.
I'd like to throw in one final award that we like to do here at Exiled Eagles, and that is Miss of the Season. That would indicate we have some shots on goal, and at times it appears we didn't have any shots on goal throughout the season. So it might be tough. So, Ned, as you won, I would like to go to you first. What was your miss of the season? It has been easier in other seasons. We had the Scott down at Burnley when he missed on the line, and when Jimmy Mack against West Ham when he ran through, and then who knows what he did there. But what would be your miss of the season?
Certainly. So my miss of the season, I'm going to take a leaf out of last year's book. Unfortunately, last year, my miss of the season was obviously awarded to our very own Rob Seltzer for 2 individual cases, but the main one being missing the national meetup. Now, I would nominate Dale Cordy for the same reason this year. However, he was topped by another member of the Exiled Eagles team, Mark Werner, who I'm going to award miss of the season for an incident at the national meetup where he managed to miss the address of our hotel by about 5 suburbs and ended up seeing our Uber driver take us to the wrong side of Hobart at 5 a.m. in the morning to park up outside Giordo's house. So miss of the season. Congratulations, Mark. That's my nomination.
That's still currently the second most expensive Uber trip I've ever had.
That, to be fair, that's a good Michigan. And the fact that Jordo wasn't even there, Jordo was in the same hotel as we were at the time. So that was impressive. All right, Mark, you copped that one. So what was your miss of the season?
So I'm going to take a leaf out of Dale's book and have multiple answers to this. And my miss isn't goals per se, matches, and that's the 2-0 against Newcastle. And I think it was followed up the week later or in close proximity to that game. Also, when we were at the national meetup, the 0-0 against Fulham that were just on their knees and absolutely there for the taking. And God, we're awful. That was just such a shit, horrible game of football to watch. And it was so disappointing that it was at the meetup and Andrew had gone to so much trouble to set up all the gear at his place. And we all lobbed in there Sunday night, like midnight or 1 a.m., whatever the fuck it was. And it was, oh, God, I've never been so, felt so lackluster or shitty after after a game. So that's my main one.
Dale, miss of the season?
Apart from my predictions, I can't remember any misses. I'll tell you what, I think it's been an absolute miss. Fucking nonsense that goes in one of those WhatsApp groups. I'm glad I'm out of it.
There you go. Whoa. More sizzle. Oof.
Well, I'm actually going to give a footballing miss.
And we didn't miss any.
It's going to be... I'm playing this year. I'm right back. I haven't got near the box. We're rubbish. Is when we're playing Liverpool, I believe it was 1-0 at the time. Ball over the top. Jordan Ayew and Wilf are 2-on-1 with Alisson at Selhurst. And all Ayew has to do is play it to Wilf and he puts it behind him and then we lose 7-0. So... that will be the miss of the season for me. Right, fellas, I think we're going on rabbiting on for a fair bit. You want to do any Aussie stuff, Mark and Ned, before we wrap it up?
Yeah, I can do it in about 60 seconds. Ned, do you want to do the domestic gear?
I was just going to, I don't want to steal your thunder, Mark, but I feel like the managerial news is probably... The big one from an Aussie perspective. We've got ourselves a manager in a European league. I don't want to say a top European league because I don't want to give the Scots that much credit. But Celtic are quite a big club. So Ange Postecoglou, who we've obviously talked about and given a bit of praise on here before for his efforts in obviously Australia and Japan. It's good to see an Aussie getting a go at the top job at one of those bigger clubs, which is good. I'd rather not talk about the A-League, so... Let's just not pretend it didn't happen. I would have liked Rob's mob to win it, but they didn't. So we'll move on.
Fair enough, yeah. So since our last pod, the Melbourne women had won W League here. Melbourne men won here. No, Melbourne City, not Ned's poultry mob. Melbourne Victory, who managed to get the wooden spoon even after their last game of the season. So that's quite an effort there.
Yeah.
Mate, for you and your guys, well done. Socceroos back playing after 567 odd days or something stupid like that for the remaining four games in our World Cup qualifying through Asia. 8 from 8, boys did well, 26 goals for, 2 against. They can sit there and say, yeah, well, it was only going to the likes of Nepal and Chinese Taipei. And that's absolutely correct. But you can only play what's in front of you. Boys did well. The draw for the next round, I think, is tomorrow, July 1st or July 4th. So that'll be exciting. See how we go. That's about it. It's got bits and bobs, but we've gone long enough. So for the next.
There's one more. There's another Aussie in the Premier League as well. First ever foreign referee in English Premier League history is an Australian. So
there you go.
Yay, the referees. I'll say it with all the enthusiasm it deserves. Good job, Jared Gillett.
It does sound, Mark, that the competition was fierce for Australia to qualify with 28 goals scored and 2
conceded. 26, mate. 28 would have been embarrassing to the opposition, Rob.
I mean, it sounds like a really, really close run thing. So you must have just scraped through. You must be really nervous.
Played Jordan.
I think every bloke's played Jordan. Whoa, hey.
lost Dale. Through. We've lost Dale completely. Yeah. So let's wrap it up. Dale's got to go, and he's lost interest. So
chocolate cake or something, or
he's got dessert to come. So
I've got hours worth of material like that. So we've got many pods.
Save it for the next pod. Save it for the next.
Well, guys, thank you very much. I'm going to be checking Twitter every 15 minutes or I go to bed soon. So, and then I'll wake up in the morning and see if this all happened. Paddy should have a manager in the not too distant future, which is nice. I've just read somewhere apparently he's going to be handed £80 million. Who knows? Apparently Favre wanted £100 million. That's just what I'm reading. And if it's on Twitter, we know it's true. That's it. Well, Twitter wouldn't lie. I'm going to start a tweet. I'm going to tweet now that Sacco will be signing a new deal because that will get some real good traction. Guys, Ned, Dale, Mark, thank you very much. I'll put it out there again. So obviously we are in a lockdown. Okay, it's not as long as last time, but if anyone is feeling a bit blue and they just want to talk Palace or football or whatever, drop us a message on Facebook. Let us know. We're more than happy to have a chat to you. Never suffer in silence and all that type of stuff. Lockdown can be hard for people. So please, if you do have those feelings and you want us to talk Palace or anything like that, reach out to us. Any of us will be more than happy to jump on a phone call with you if there is that. So it's certainly not, it's a brave thing to do to talk. So it's certainly not something you want to suffer in silence. I just wanted to get that in there, fellas. But otherwise, Dale, Ned, Mark, thank you very much.
Oh, hell, Vieira.
That's it, mate. And in that thing, au revoir. Bloody hell, really?
He's bookended it. He's professional. That's what they do. Yeah,
very much.
Yeah, well done, Rob.
Every joke you just made at the end was much better than your Jordan gag. Just saying.
That was bollocks. Bollocks, isn't it? I'm going to get my agent, George Mendes, to be on the phone.
And anyway, dessert is only a weak spot tonight, by God, though.
Enjoy your weak spot.
See you later. Been a pleasure. Bye.
I don't think anyone said anything horrendously embarrassing tonight. It's disappointing. I'm going to have to work for the end part tonight. We was recording for a bit at the start, though, so hopefully you got something.
I think we got it. Yeah, I think he's putting some crap in there or something.
Your, you're making a Eastern European gentleman do under public pretty funny. So that shout, I thought, well, thank God he did that guy, not the bloke that owned the Indian restaurant down the road. I thought,
That's what the editing process is for, Mark. It's all
good. Oh my God.
Excellent. All right, lads.
Yeah, see you guys.
Cool.
See you, boys.
See you, boys. Bye.